Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special edition of Employment Matters, brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the world's largest network of labor employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I'm your host, Steve Hirschfeld. Well, today is a special day because it's Tuesday, and on Tuesdays, we have what's called Travel Tuesdays, where we get the chance to dial in one of our members from around the world to share with us what it's like to do business in their jurisdiction. Today, we'll be learning a little bit more about the state of Idaho, and I'm pleased to welcome to the show Alex Grandy, who's a partner at Holland & Hart in Boise. Alex, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Steve?
I'm hanging in there. So we talked before we got on the air. You guys had a pretty interesting winter. Decent amount of snow.
Little variable there at the end, some random snowstorms, but allowed our great resorts here in Idaho to remain open a little longer than they anticipated. So that's always a gift a skier like myself will take.
Yeah, well, for those of you on the line here who have never been to Idaho, I mean, it's an unbelievably beautiful state. And I have to think about it. I guess I've skied there only once. It was years ago, but really just beautiful. So maybe we ought to do a commercial for your Chamber of Commerce or something, but it's a beautiful state. So, hey, listen, let's just jump in a little bit and talk about what's happening from sort of an HR legal perspective in your state. What's going on right now? Is there anything that's like on the top of your desk or on top of your mind your clients are most concerned about in terms of employment and labor law?
So I'd say the things that come across my desk most often have stayed pretty consistent out of the pandemic. So as we've talked about before, and I think is pretty well known, a lot of states like Idaho received a real influx of employees and just persons in general moving to the state.
Yeah, you stole a lot of our people from San Francisco. All the tech workers ended up in Boise.
I think we are guilty as charged on that, yes. So there's been a lot of domestic relocation to Idaho, a lot from California, a lot from other states as well. And then there was this effort after that relocation to say, okay, are these employees going to remain, right, residents of Idaho? And are we going to establish maybe an Idaho or Boise-based office? Or are we just going to have a handful of employees who are working remotely from their homes in Idaho? And can we accommodate that as their employer who's based somewhere else? So in the last 2 to 3 years, that's been a pretty consistent question that we've been dealing with here at Holland & Hart.
Well, let me ask you this. In what ways can an out-of-state company screw things up? I mean, let's say, for example, I've got a tech client in San Francisco and a bunch of their, you know, sort of digital natives decided to get on a plane and fly to Boise and set up shop. Are there rules that are materially different you're finding on the employment law side in your state compared to California? And if so, what kind of advice are you giving clients about that?
That's a good question. So I've seen employers take different paths here depending on what they value most. So some employers in California, we'll use that as a good example since we're both on this call, Steve, but if you have a California-based employer who's coming to Idaho, in general, there really aren't going to be that many Idaho-specific laws that are going to give more protection to an employee in Idaho than they would in California. I think that's going to be generally a guiding principle that will remain true. There's a couple Idaho quirks that I've advised employers on to fix in their handbooks or to make sure that they're cognizant of. But in general, again, California law is going to be more protective. So I've seen employers do generally one of two things. Sometimes where they have a large enough workforce, they say, all right, we want the Idaho handbook or we want the Idaho-based contract with the employee. For instance, in Idaho, if you have a key employee or someone that you know, really has insight into the company, want to protect your trade secrets or your proprietary information. In Idaho, non-competes, non-solicitation agreements are going to be generally much more enforceable in Idaho than in California. Some employers want to take advantage of those more protective laws, and they will have a Idaho different form or different employee handbook. Some employers where their workforce here is perhaps smaller, or they just don't want to deal with the administrative or HR headache for their HR folks, say, look, whatever Idaho is going to require us to do isn't going to be more than California would do. So we're just going to keep our PTO policies, our leave policies, our parental leave policies the same for ease of administration.
So, you know, it's interesting. You brought up a point about this non-compete. So as you know, in California said, they're almost impossible to enforce except in the sale of a business. And there are a few other exceptions. So let's say you got a bunch of tech workers in the Bay Area. They decide to move to Boise. They're working remotely. We got no office there. but follow up on your point, which is interesting. You know, we've never been able to get them on a non-compete here, but we say to them, you know, great, we'll agree to allow you to relocate to Boise, but in consideration for allowing you to work remotely, we want you to sign a non-compete. Is that legal? Is that valid in your state?
You know, that's a great question, Steve, and one that Idaho Supreme Court, that specific fact pattern has not been addressed. In fact, since they have been on the books since 2008, Idaho's non-compete statute has been relatively unlitigated to the Idaho Supreme Court. So these jurisdictional questions, I think, would be ones we'd have to look at for this employee-specific situation. So I'm giving you the it depends answer, right? But I would say Idaho does have a law in the books that says that choice of venue can be negated in a contract if it will not favor an Idaho venue. So I could see an argument from an Idaho court here where you say, look, you live in Idaho, you're in our Idaho office, you're an Idaho employee. Yes, we have, you know, California protections that may apply to you, depending on how California would extend, you know, its tendrils into Idaho and to an Idaho-based employee. But in general, I would say those employees should be concerned that their non-compete is enforceable.
Interesting. Hey, what about on the discrimination front? Are you seeing a lot of complaints or anything kind of complex or unusual these days?
So this has slowed down. And in fact, there was a Idaho law that was passed specific on vaccination requirements. But for a while, there was not many employers in Idaho that mandated the vaccine, but some that did see a lot of charges of discrimination filed by the Idaho Human Rights Commission. To my understanding, I don't think any of those really went anywhere. Most employers were complying with what was required, but there were some employees that were simply disgruntled with the decision of their employer to implement that. So that was an uptick, bit of a different tact than we had seen at the Idaho Human Rights Commission, which is our local, of course, EEOC equivalent. And that was a bit of a trend that was different. I will say that here, ADA claims have been increasing. Again, a lot of it based on that remote workforce or workforce that wants to work remotely, even if they're based here in Idaho.
So we're getting the same issue, right? And I use myself as an example. I'm the managing part of my firm. And before COVID, I was a real hard nose about like everybody has to come in the office, right? Because I figured people wouldn't get the work done. During COVID, we realized people did get the work done. They're highly efficient, very responsive. We're finding in California, because of that, courts are requiring employers to bend over backwards when somebody's got some sort of ailment or disability and they go, I need to work from home. Where in the old days, we go, no, you got to come in. Are you seeing that too? Where they're going, no, you got to give more flexibility to people now.
Again, I don't think we have a decision on the books here in Idaho, specifically in the District of Idaho, in our federal courts, where I believe that would more likely permeate. But in general, I would say that I'm not really seeing that requirement. I think the just general interactive process that you would go through under the ADA is still what's controlling. There's certainly no Idaho specific law that would require more of the employer. And so I think a lot of employers are, as we've seen generally, and you're alluding to, are just doing it because it's a competitive advantage to their workforce. It's not necessarily in the ADA context or because an employee claims they have a disability and that's the accommodation that they think they need to perform the essential functions of their position. It's that just a competitive need for workforce. So they find a lot of employers just doing it voluntarily as a competitive advantage.
So in other words, if I get a disability or not, if somebody want to work from home, there's like, I like the employee enough, I want to keep him or her, so I'm going to let him work from home. Is that sort of the idea?
Yeah. And I think a lot of employers have run into issues with that, frankly, where, you know, they could be seen as treating one employee differently. All of us, you know, you generally let your workforce work remotely. All of a sudden you have an employee that's asking because of a potential disability, and maybe they feel they're being treated sort of differently or scrutinized more. And so I have seen this question a lot from employers where what we need to get in place, and I've helped them put in place, is a consistent remote work policy and agreement that is consistent across their workforce so that we aren't getting those claims of disparate impact, which they certainly don't want to be doing, but sometimes their decisions lead to that anyway. So,
got it. Well, before we wrap things up, let me spend a minute on unions. So I'm old enough to remember when Idaho, it maybe predated you, was kind of a blue state, actually. You had this guy named Frank Church, who was a senator from Idaho, was progressive. Now you're not even purple. You're kind of a red state, I guess, right?
I would say that's absolutely true. Yes.
All right. So, and I say that because, you know, at the national level, we've seen a dramatic increase in union activity around the country, right? I mean, everywhere, in every industry, like never before. And some of it's because the Biden administration has changed the rules on things like union organizing. Has that moved the needle in any way, had any impact in Idaho at all?
I will say yes. So that really? Has been a change. I do not practice in the traditional labor sphere. I'm lucky to work at Holland & Hart, where I have several of my colleagues in our Denver and our Salt Lake offices in particular, where they have actually come out recently to Boise and our surrounding area where there has been some union activity.
I'm shocked, really. So tell me a little bit about that. In what industries have you guys seen it?
There are two that come to mind and that we've had experience with, which is healthcare. And that's been actually more in the north of Idaho. I can think of a specific example. And then in manufacturing or more traditional industries that you would think of being potentially unionized elsewhere, plumbing, these sort of
trade union.
Exactly. Yeah. So there is some of that that's happened, and I haven't had personal involvement with that, but we do have unionized workforces in rare instances, but it's happening more and more in two that I can also think of, which is construction. We're seeing a little bit of that. This has been in the national news. Micron is building a gigantic fab out near, I can see it out my window out here in Boise. And they agreed to use a unionized labor workforce to perform that construction. So that's a bit of a change.
Wow. Right?
Yes. And then,
well, I think you're going to see it too. You know, and you're bringing in a fab, you're bringing in millennials and Gen Zs, and these folks are much more liberal, as you know, and socially aware. It'll be interesting to see if that moves the needle for you folks too in Idaho.
I think that will be an interesting demographic shift. I think a major issue that our employers are still running into is housing, right? You have this workforce that needs to come in and work physically in Idaho, but with housing prices, what they still are, there's been a tiny bit of a cooling off, I'd say, in Boise and our surrounding Treasure Valley area since the pandemic, but it still remains incredibly high compared to wages, which have certainly gone up in Idaho. I think our state average in Idaho, I think for household income is around 70,000. I remember a couple of years ago when it was 54. So definitely been an increase in wages. We still remain on the federal minimum wage as our standard, but of course that's not the reality on the ground. It's simply not competitive.
But interesting. So is that because all the California folks are driving up the prices of the real estate? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah, you know, that's what a lot of my other born in Idaho friends would certainly
They're blaming
say.
It on my friends. You're saying.
It's easy to blame it on California or out-of-staters. And certainly there has been some relocation where folks could come in with cash, right? And make offers that seem kind of insane in the real estate market, certainly driving things. But in general, there's just a lot of commercial real estate development that's happening too. And balancing, you know, these large projects, looking out my window, I can see all of these places that are popping up in Boise and the surrounding area. But there's a question of where will the workforce that they need to fill those offices, where will they be able to afford a home? It's a huge challenge, especially among millennials.
Interesting. Well, I learned something new. I always do. And I learned something new today. Very interesting. Well, Alex, thank you so much. It's been a great conversation. Folks, if you'd like to connect with Alex, it's very easy to do. You can see her bio. You can click on it right by her name in the description of this podcast. And I encourage you all to visit ela.law to receive invitations to our upcoming webinars, to download our white papers, and to access our free online platform called the Employment Law Alliance, where you can get practical information on all aspects of labor employment law in all 50 states and 100 countries. You've been listening to Employment Matters, a podcast brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the world's largest network of labor employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I'm Steve Hirschfeld. Thanks for listening.